This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Hit it.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning, friends. It's Wednesday. It's May 7th. Hope you're doing great. It is Chris and Amy, and we're with you until 11:15 today, because at 11:20 is the Cardinals pregame show, and they got baseball. They're going to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates at Busch Stadium today. So it is some day baseball happening here in St. Louis. And guess what? We're only here with you for a couple of hours, but it's enough time for you to call us and text. You never call, you never write. 314-436-7900. On the Odyssey app, where you listen to the show and Cardinals baseball and the podcast and all of that, you can send us a voice message. There's a little button that says send a message. Click it, record your message, and send it. Also, streaming live on all the cool platforms like YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, we are at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Long lines are happening right now at airports and DMVs around the country, and probably in Newark. But it's not because of the Newark traffic control people. Yeah. It's because today is Real ID Enforcement Day. This is the first day everybody has to have one, or you will die.
No, that's not, you're not going to die.
You're not going to die?
Don't, you can't speculate like that on KMOX. You'll be okay.
Oh, you knew you would. Okay.
But it is, it's happy Real ID.
Yes,
here's something. I hope you have the Real ID. I hope you don't have the measles.
It does say here you will not die. So.
Okay. And St. Louis City, specifically Aldermanic President Megan Green, refiles another lawsuit over the state control of the St. Louis City Police. Mayor Kara Spencer criticized the move for not being a united front.
And the Cardinals did it again. They beat Paul Skeens, the young baseball pitching phenom. They did it. They did it again at Busch Stadium. And now they will finish up that series against the Pirates, as we mentioned, today at 12:15. That is the first pitch. You know, I looked up at the TV, and there was the graphic that said the Cardinals begin procession into the Sistine Chapel. And I said, well, they have a day game today. How can they possibly?
You know, I got to be honest. I heard the same thing. They said 130 Cardinals. I was like, first of all,
that's
a lot.
That's not the roster. Like,
that's a lot. Like that
that's
would
bigger
be,
than the 40 man.
That would be way bigger than the 40 man. And so I came up with a game on the way to work today. And I think it's really it's really reserved for the St. Louis area.
It's got potential.
It's got real potential. So basically, it's a game for you, the listener. We will read a quote or a headline, and you have to tell us if it's from the Conclave or the Gas House Gang.
Gas House Gang every day from 12 until 1, whenever Cardinals baseball doesn't happen.
I think that's a great game.
I love the idea.
Like you could say, like, there's some infighting among the Cardinals.
That's a conclave.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I made that up. But what I'm saying is you had to think about it.
They really have Paul Skeen's number.
That's the Gas House Gang.
Yeah, Cardinals have... But these Cardinals might also have his phone number if they really wanted it. They could. If you're one of these Cardinals, you can get anything you want. You can get in touch with Paul Skeens very easily, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think they do have a lot of connections. But I think Conclave or Gas House Gang is a great game. I think it's fun.
I'm into it.
There's a Cardinal Dolan and there's a Cardinal Nolan.
Oh no.
There is.
You're right. And that's gonna confuse me. I'm going to be thinking about that a lot.
Yeah. That's like, you have to think twice before you say something. I feel that way with tentacles and testicles.
Okay. Are you serious?
Yes. That's a hard one.
Like, you really have to think that through before you say it?
Yes. An octopus has 8 tentacles.
Oh, my God.
Well, and also, the same thing. I've always struggled with a penal colony.
What?
Like, be careful. I'm sorry, but these are real things.
There are penal codes.
Penal codes, right.
And penal colonies.
And you have to say it that way. You don't want to say it the other way, which would be a totally different type of code and colony.
You know,
I think about these things because you think, well, why are you talking about penal codes? Listen, I listen to Supreme Court podcasts. I like reading history books. A lot of times they'll say, like, think about before World War I and the web of entanglements and all the tentacles. You wouldn't believe how many times.
And lots of testicles.
Well, it was a male-dominated world at that time. But I would say you have to say tentacles and penal a lot. Anyway, say it correctly. What were we talking about?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know, but you took it down a path.
My game. Anyway, if you think we should play the game, Conclave or Gas House Gang, 314-436-7900, yeah. You can text us. You can also leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app.
But how about these Cardinals? How about these Redbirds?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, and again, it's not like they just lit up Paul Skeens yesterday. He still had a quality start. It was, you know, 6 innings, 2 runs. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And if your starters give you 6 innings and 2 runs every time out, you as a team are going to win a ton of games. So it's not like they, you know, they didn't blow the guy up or anything. But for whatever reason, they have just had incredible luck winning on days where he has started. And for people who aren't really following baseball, this is a legit phenom.
Yes.
This is a guy who came in midseason last year and... He's the kind of pitcher that when he is coming to town and when it is his turn to start, if you're that home team's fan base, mm-hmm. you might be more incentivized to go buy tickets because it's, oh, Paul Skeens is pitching tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see him pitch. He's one of those. He's like a Greg Maddux type or a Clayton Kershaw type. That's or a Max Scherzer, where if you're a home team fan base and he's coming to visit, you might think, I'm going to get to the ballpark tonight in particular because I get to see him, and the Cardinals beat him every time they play
him. It's crazy. Well, wasn't his career record that he had 4 losses and 3 were against the Cardinals? Something like that.
Yeah, it was like 5, I want to say.
99% of his losses are against the Cardinals. I do, speaking of sports, have some breaking news.
This is breaking news.
Hold on.
From St. Louis's News Radio,
KMOX. I just want to say something real quick.
Yeah.
Let's not make a mockery of the breaking news. Is this real breaking
news?
Yeah,
this is real.
Oh.
6 minutes ago, NHL.com, the Utah Mammoth. That is their official...
Oh, that is breaking news.
Yes, no, that's what I mean. It's real breaking news. I don't want you to make a mockery of me.
We made a mockery of it last week, and I felt pretty bad about making a mockery of KMOX breaking news.
The Utah Mammoth has been unveiled as the permanent brand identity after four rounds of surveys. The Utah Hockey Club, which was Utah's National Hockey League team, is now the Utah Mammoth. And they revealed the logo. It looks like a icy woolly mammoth, which is cool, except I kind of liked the Utah Hockey Club. It felt classy.
That's how I felt about the Washington football team.
Yeah.
I wish they would have kept that.
I know. I do, too. I will say they're still going to have, I believe, the white jerseys will still say Utah, but the woolly mammoth that is on the front of their jersey and their colors are like icy blue, black and white. Or maybe that's a navy. I'm a little bad with colors. But it's a sleek look. It does look good. So the Arizona Coyotes are officially, I mean, they were already officially dead.
Yeah.
But I mean, now you have a new name. It's the Utah Mammoth.
It was last week. I sent you guys I think it was a tweet that, I don't know if it was the official team account or something. They accidentally posted the team name. And it was like, did Utah just leak their own name? And apparently they did, because that's exactly what the name was. The Utah Mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Mammoths. It is the Utah Mammoth.
Yeah, like moose.
Yeah, like moose.
You don't say mooses.
Look at all the moose out there.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool, but I really liked Utah Hockey Club.
I did too. It's classy.
Let me ask this question.
It's a little pretentious, and I always appreciate pretentious things.
I'm going to throw this question out to the listener, since we have this new breaking news about the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah.
If we were to change the team name for any of our professional teams, which one would you change, and what would you call it? So, the Cardinals, the Blues, City SC, or the Battlehawks. I'm curious what people have in mind. So if you have...
I think this is a dumb question.
This is a great question. I would like to know what people would come up with.
I think if you even suggest changing the Cardinals' names, you might get killed on the spot.
I'm sure I will be perfectly fine. 314-436-7900. Go ahead and text in and let us know. Or you can drop us a voice message from the Odyssey app. I'm curious. I know we get attached to our team names and our team colors and all of that stuff in the uniforms. But I am here for change. I'm here for doing something a little different every now and then.
And I, like any good conservative would be, am standing athwart history yelling stop.
Yeah, that's what you all do.
Yeah.
Let's do something better. No, this is perfectly fine.
It's working the way it is. I like
things
the way
they are. But we can make it work better.
I mean,
what if we come up with something
better? You're probably least emotionally attached to the Battlehawks because they're so new. But the fact that they survived COVID is kind of... You hate to take it from them now.
Well, the team's still there. Team's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You can root for them. You can buy the new gear.
Yep.
Whatever you want to do.
While we're talking about hockey and as we go into break here on Real ID Day, I do want to give everyone an update because my mom asked me. I told you I was watching hockey with my mom, and there's two kinds of hockey. There's Blues hockey, and then there's other hockey is what she calls it. Like, she walked in, what are you watching? I'm like, hockey. And she goes, is this the Blues? I said, no. She goes, is this other hockey? Like, yes, it's other hockey. So my mom texted me, knowing how distraught I was yesterday. So sweet. She texted me. She goes, are you watching other hockey tonight? And I said, you know what? I turned on an Eastern Conference game, the Eastern Conference playoff game, because I couldn't handle Western Conference. I said I was too distraught to watch other hockey the night before.
I feel it.
But I'm trying to ease my way into other hockey. And I started with the Carolina Hurricanes and Washington Capitals, two teams I don't care about. At all. I don't like them. I don't like Carolina. I've never liked the Hurricanes.
I wonder if most people have a feeling about the Carolina Hurricanes.
I know they're dumb. Why are they even there? Anyway.
A text message, and I they've been listening at least. Thank you. We appreciate it. But they didn't specify which team.
Uh-oh.
They say it should be called the St. Louis Testicles.
Well, which team would it make more
I don't
sense
know.
For?
Here's one that says the Blues should be called fully the Blue Note, not just the Blues.
Oh, the St. Louis Blue Note?
Yeah.
Notes?
But note, N-O-T-E.
Okay.
I did like the idea as we go to break here. I loved the idea of us having a hockey team named the Blues and an NBA team named the Rhythm and they play in the same building. You have the rhythm and blues. I loved that idea.
To be honest, was that your idea?
No.
Oh, because that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if that's your idea, you shouldn't be sitting here.
Damn right. I should own an NBA team. It's Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Text messages to the show, 314-436-7900. We had the texter who said it should be the Blue Note instead of the Blues. It should be the St. Louis Blue Note. And they followed up with Blues is too ambiguous. But I feel like it's actually perfect.
Okay.
I feel like St. Louis Blues, in reality, is perfect because right now that's what we have. We have the Blues, and they have given us the Blues. After what they
blues
did
would be
on Sunday.
Blues would be ambiguous if you didn't have the logo. But the logo, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah, it pretty much denotes blues music, right?
Denotes.
I think so. Wow.
Paul says on our YouTube, from yesterday, okay, talking about the Winnipeg Jets, how can you hate the Jets? A great little low-budget Canadian hockey-loving team. If I hated the Canucks, Sharks, and Wings in the past, but the Blues gave them the win after all. I can hate anybody I want, first of all. It's America.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's not America.
You can hate the smallest of towns if you feel like it.
Honestly, I feel like I have more of a right to hate Winnipeg because they are our Canadian sister. They're the River City. Mm-hmm. They're the gateway to the West. And they're a blue-collar team, blue-collar city, like we are. So if anyone has a right, I think no one has more right to dislike Winnipeg than St. Louisans. That's it.
We have nobody to be mad at
but
except ourselves.
But we can still project.
Sunday is entirely our fault.
And you know what? Scott Arneil, whiny. You know when I used to like Winnipeg? When it was Paul Maurice. But Scott Arneil, Paul Maurice was the coach. He's the coach of the Florida Panthers now. Another reason to like Florida because of Matthew Tkachuk and Paul Maurice and Jamie Campagne, assistant coach. But, don't like Winnipeg. I think Hellebuyck. Here's when I fell out of love with Hellebuyck when he said, I've studied hockey more than any. I've read more books on hockey than anybody ever has in the whole world.
That's not what he said.
That's exactly what he said.
He was telling people, he was probably getting so much crap for the series from his own people. He's
doesn't
like,
matter.
Guys. I'm looking into it.
You know what kind of goalie I like? Do I look nervous? That's a goalie.
Well,
that's a goalie.
And guess which one won?
But guess which one played better? Bennington.
Who gave up fewer goals?
Not
the end result is the end result.
Listen, I'm not having. I didn't come here to talk to you all day.
And I've said this. I've said this already. Yeah. He deserved better.
He did. You did say that.
But
and
Connor,
I agree.
Connor Hellebuyck. He locked it down when he had to. After we blew it.
Yeah, we blew it.
Yes. That's why the Blues is perfect.
He didn't have to lock it down. We gave it to him. If he didn't win that game after we handed it to him on a silver platter, yeah.
See?
He should go back to reading books.
The Cardinals, this is a text message. Okay. The Cardinals should be called the St. Louis Bluebirds because it's our state bird.
Mm.
Isn't that strange how the it's the Bluebirds in Missouri. The Bluebird is the state bird. And in Illinois, it's the Cardinal.
I thought it was, is it the Cardinal?
The state bird is the Cardinal in Illinois.
That's why Illinois State's the Redbirds? Is that what you're called?
They are the Redbirds.
Yeah.
It was the Illinois State Cardinals, and they changed the name like 100 years ago so as to not create confusion when people were talking about the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because it's only a couple hours
north. Well, I mean, think about this. The Pope is creating confusion for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Cardinal-centric we are, that when we look at the conclave, again, is that the conclave or the gas house gang? I don't know. All day long, KMOX talks about the Cardinals, and it's either Kevin Wheeler or Fred Bottomer, the religion reporter.
Yep. You never know.
You never know.
What about this idea about changing the name, and this is from a text message, changing the soccer team name to the Dogs, because they're sponsored by Purina.
Yeah.
There,
then
I
you
mean,
would
there
have
are,
the dog house. Energizer Park would be
yes.
the dog house.
Oh my
or the
gosh.
Dog park.
It could be the dog park.
It could be.
You're in the dog park.
But the
dog park is like a jovial, fun place. It doesn't feel intimidating.
I like it, though. Right. The doghouse is more intimidating, yeah. More negative connotations. But I like the dog park.
Welcome to the doghouse.
But I like welcome to the dog park.
I like that, too. Wow. Hey, do you love things, Amy?
Yes, I do.
Tell us about what's coming up next.
Oh, with Kathy Winterwell, our guest. We will.
I think she's here already.
She is.
She's been waiting for us for a long time.
The president of the Women of Achievement, the 2025 St. Louis Women of Achievement, has been announced. The honorees are going to be recognized at a luncheon next week, Tuesday, May 13th. Well, next week, honorees will be recognized at the 70th anniversary of the 2025 Women of Achievement Award Luncheon, or the 70th anniversary of the Women of Achievement Luncheon, I should say. And so joining us now is Kathy Winter. She's the president of Women of Achievement. She joins us in studio as, man, we were just talking about the 70th anniversary of Women of Achievement and the 22nd anniversary of our own Carol Daniel hosting it.
Correct.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kathy. Yes,
thank you. I'm very happy to be here. It's a pretty exciting time for our organization. We'll have celebrated over the 70 years, 700 women that we have recognized for their volunteerism in making our community better in so many different ways. And we've been supported all that time over the 70-year course. We started with the St. Louis Globe Democrat. Mm. And then the St. Louis Globe Democrat honored the women for about 30 years, a little more. And then when they got sold, Suburban Journal and KMOX took over. And when that changed over, we end back with, again, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Ladue News, KMOX. They are all been supporters of recognizing these women in our community.
What is the process of deciding who you're going to recognize each year? How long does that take, and how do you go about it?
Yeah, it's a couple of months. What happens is our partners, you all and Ladue News, we put out a notice to the community. So we take nominations from the community online, and then we take them as a committee. We have two different committees, which we've done since 1955. That part hasn't changed. So we have two different committees, and we narrow down the first group to 25 women, and then the second committee narrows it down to the final 10. And so that's how we go about it.
I know we'll talk about this year's nominees, mm-hmm. but who are some of the women who have won in the past and
wow.
what they've done?
Yeah, I mean, they've done a lot of things within the community, with helping women and children in need, and putting coats on our youth. They're changing neighborhoods. They're doing neighborhood development. They've gone into wherever there has been, they've identified a need, they've gone after it. I always say the power of one is amazing, because the ripple effect goes throughout the community and helps so many people. So, you know, we end up doing a lot of things for our kids. We end up doing a lot of things for people who have been facing abuse, and we find safe havens and help and jobs and things like that. So a lot of our women have been doing that. You know, we've run some similarities in terms of maybe what they're doing, but each takes a unique approach to maybe what they're what they're making a difference in the community with.
Certainly in the 1950s, women did not get the recognition they deserved, whether it was professionally or what they did in the community. So something like this, hugely important, it still is. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's been enough progress made over the decades, now that women do get more recognition in the way that they should?
Well, yes. I think, you know, they've made impacts in the communities in which they live. I mean, we have one lady who's an honoree this year. She takes children out of foster care who are at risk, and they're providing home housing, group housing for them until they reach a certain age. And so she's been working in that arena. She has is a, called the Hope Ranch, and it's out in Franklin County. But it just so happens this year also we have another honoree, and she was a foster child, and she does music therapy. And so she works with the foster children with music, and she tries to keep it continuing with them, if even if they're having to change foster homes or whatever. So it's an impactful moment for these kids to be able to learn to play an instrument and sing and do a lot of the different music opportunities for them.
You talked about the power of the individual and looking at all of the honorees. It's so nice to be able to break down maybe a bigger concept, like you said, like, okay, we're putting coats on kids or we're helping children in foster homes, but you're breaking it down to the individual personal level. Mm-hmm. Say, this is the woman mm-hmm. who's doing this. These are the children she's mm-hmm. influencing and impacting, because it really is extraordinary what one person can do. I don't know. I have a problem of thinking from 30,000 feet too much. Like they're not real people, right? Yeah, until you break it down like this.
You reach out, you know, they're able to put their hands around these kids. You know, they're able to come up and hug them. One of our honorees is Anna Warfield, and she does Nana's Closet, and she had just been driving around and she saw kids in the dead of winter without a coat, you know, and so she started a coat drive, mittens, socks, shoes, whatever. And it's blossomed. Now she's been doing that, and she's done it for 3,000 kids. So, I mean, it was just one thing that she noticed that she did, and it just went out there. And it ended up, interestingly, because Jody Jennifer Hope has the ranch out in Franklin, and some of her foster kids use Nana's Closet. So it ended up being kind of a opportunity for all of them. And it was really interesting that they all 10 this year have had some similarities in terms of what they were doing.
So the luncheon is coming up on Tuesday. How have you seen the organization, this event, change over the years?
You know, it hasn't changed all that much, because our organization in 1993, we had 15 women who had the vision when things were being sold to incorporate us. And so since 1993, the membership has been running the show. And we've stayed close to our roots and to our culture that was established back in the 50s and 60s. So we usually have about 500 people at the luncheon, and the community can come if they want. They can just get online and get a ticket. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, families, friends, sponsors that all arrive so that we can celebrate these 10 women. And it's just amazing. And we do a video of them, so that's shown mm-hmm. at the luncheon as to what their work is.
And you mentioned buying tickets. So Women of Achievement, WOASTL.org.
Correct.
/event. So WOASTL.org/event to get tickets to the Women of Achievement Luncheon. It's at the Ritz-Carlton. It's been there for a while, right?
It has. It used to be at the Coruscant Room for many, many years. And then in very early on, it was they had one of the original luncheons down at the Jefferson Hotel. And there was like 1,000 women that came to that luncheon at that time, for those women down there. But, you know, for the past 20 plus years, we've had it at the Ritz. So, yes.
So I've got this book here. All right. This book is huge. It weighs a ton.
Yes.
It's since 1955, Women of Achievement, 1955 through 2025.
Yes.
Tell us about this. Can people buy this?
Yes. In fact, we're going to, the Hunter Family Foundation graciously gave us the money to print this book, which we took. Dudley Grove was one of the Women of Achievement back in 1986, I think is her class. And she did this with Mary Kimbrough, who was at the time with the Globe Democrat, too. And so they did the first 50 years of it. And Blanche Tuhill managed to talk me into finishing it to 2025. So it is big, and it is a lot. But
it is.
It has a lot of our photos.
There's a lot in here.
It's a coffee table book. Yeah. So you leave it out.
Yeah, so we will be handing that out at the luncheon.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're just giving it out?
We're going to give it to our women of achievement.
And, oh, okay.
But if we have, it can be purchased too. So.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I don't have a coffee table.
Bookshelf.
Bookshelf.
He doesn't have a coffee table.
I do not have a coffee table.
This guy.
It just occurred to me. I don't have a coffee table. But I've taken it anyway.
Kathy, how long have you been with Women of Achievement?
I've got my honor in 2016. So I was a Woman of Achievement in 2016. And I have been president the last 2 years, vice president 2 years before that. So I've been involved with the organization for going on about 6-7 years now.
Does it feel kind of like a club?
You know what? We call it a sisterhood because what we're embracing is all of us who have worked in the community to make a difference. We're embracing all of the women that are coming now and have done this in the past. So we kind of refer it to as a sisterhood, but also it's becoming a network for our women because so many of our women now are still doing their volunteer work. So we're able to help them get connected to maybe resources that they might need or not have to, you know, rewrite a policy book or whatever, but we're able to bring our expertise to the table and help our newer honorees in the areas of which they're working in.
And I love this. And just the women, the honorees, and the work that's being done, it's primarily local, correct? Or is it
Saint
also
Louis
national?
Region.
So
yeah.
It is the St. Louis region.
We have honorees that have come from the Illinois side as well. As you know, pretty far out in Wentzville, Franklin County, that kind of thing. So St. Louis, southern Missouri.
I love that because it truly embodies loving your neighbor. Mm. And sometimes it can be harder to reach out, do your mission in your own neighborhood, right? I mean, I think there needs to be international work too, obviously, but sometimes you can hop on a plane, you do something for a week and you come back and you go about your life. But in your neighborhood, it's day after day. It's the people you're interacting with. And so truly loving your neighbor is a commitment.
And one of our honorees this year, she's been working with our Afghan refugees.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
She's been helping there. She saw a need and helping them with housing. She's been helping them with learning English, learning to drive a car, you know, so trying to bring these women into our culture in which to get them services that they need, that, you know, they're here, they're in our country. And so she saw a need and she felt that kind of level of kindness needed to happen. So, and then another one of honorees this year, she works with our vets. We've had a lot of them that came back from Afghanistan, et cetera. So she's been doing that with the USO here in St. Louis. And then there's a call Camp Hope, which I think is in southern Missouri. And our vets can go there for a resort-like and be able to just go out into the country. And if they want to go hunting or whatever, and if they have certain limitations, they help work through those and stuff like that. So she's taking care of our veterans, which is awesome.
The luncheon to honor these women is on Tuesday, so it's a little bit less than a week from now. You can buy tickets for it. The doors are going to open at 11:15, and this will be at the Ritz-Carlton. $60 a person to get into the luncheon.
Yep.
If you are interested, woastl.org/event. Or you can go ahead and call if people feel more comfortable calling. Yeah. They can do that. 314-896-4962. 896-4962. Kathy, it's great to have you in studio.
Thank you for coming by. And again, thank you guys for being longtime partners with us. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Kathy Winter is the president of Women of Achievement. Again, the luncheon happens on Tuesday in Clayton. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX and the free Odyssey app. Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
Hey, Ranj, did you see this? I will say, if you are watching on our YouTube. You probably did see it. Lori says, yay, my mom is a woman of achievement, great organization, and great honor. Very cool. Thank you, Lori. Oh, also, just note this. Did you see Philip? He said, hey, guys, love the show. Listening from Nashville, Tennessee, baby.
Great job, Philip. You can listen from Nashville, Tennessee on YouTube, which means you're also watching Facebook, Twitter. Follow us at Chris Amy KMOX or the Odyssey app. Get that Odyssey app and put it on your phone. And Cardinals. Well, if you live in Tennessee, you cannot listen to Cardinals baseball.
You can't?
Yeah, because you're not in the listening area. You have to be in the listening area to get the free Cardinals games on the Odyssey app. That's just a Major League Baseball rule. It's not our fault.
Hey, Ronj, do you like to shop?
Yeah, why not?
You like to buy things?
Yeah, sure.
Bad news.
I can't buy things, Nomo?
Well, Canada is not for sale.
Oh, I can't buy Canada?
You cannot buy Canada. In a, quote, mostly friendly meeting at the White House yesterday, newly elected Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said that Canada will remain a sovereign country even after President Trump repeatedly stated his desire for it to become the 51st U.S. state. I would imagine it's mostly friendly meeting because Prime Minister Carney is Prime Minister solely because of Donald Trump.
Yeah,
the conservative,
kinda.
Pierre Poilievre, was a 99% chance of winning, and he was going to win. The conservative, who was, I think, by Canadian standards, he's actually a pretty moderate guy, Pierre Poilievre, was supposed to win. And Donald Trump's rhetoric, rather antagonistic and mocking, to say the least, single-handedly changed the trajectory of that Canadian election. And so the Liberal Prime Minister, Mark Carney, did win. And it was a shock to most people. But here's, can I just say this about Canada? First of all, there's no way that talking or joking about buying Canada is positive in any way. It only hurts the relationship. Canada is a sovereign nation. They're proud of being Canadian.
Yeah.
We would be offended if someone joked about buying us. So they are rightly offended by Trump's rhetoric. And here's the thing. Let's say Canada did become the 51st state with electoral votes. We would never have a Republican anything again because the more liberal political ideologies would own the United States because you'd absorb all those electoral votes in Canada, which is a big blue state, basically, with their electoral votes. We'd have probably more socialized health care. We would also, Canadians themselves, their individual wealth would go up. So there's no point in Donald Trump joking about it other than he's being a bully and trying to offend an ally. It makes no sense.
I did think it was.
And he also lost an election. We could have had a more conservative prime minister. Maybe Republicans might have wanted that, a more conservative leader of an allied country. But instead, ew.
Well, I appreciate the president for this.
Yeah, you should be glad.
Good thing we don't have the silly conservatives up there running
Pierre
the show
Poilievre.
In Canada. I did think it was really funny, Carney, in that Oval Office meeting where Trump's talking about whatever he's talking about. And Carney says, well, you know, as you know, from real estate, not everything is for sale. and Trump said, yep, you're true. That's true. I forgot where I was going to go.
We do have a message on our YouTube stream. TW says, if we bought Canada, we'd have to heat it. That's true.
Well, we don't have to heat the whole place. Who left the door open to Canada?
The border? Whatever. It's just...
We're not trying to heat the entire country. That's really very quite funny.
We have to heat the... It is cold up there. It's chilly. It's nipply.
I'm going to tell you something. I would absolutely... I think I love that climate. I think I would like it.
I would 100% trade right now. If you said, would you trade Florida for Alberta? I'd do it in a heartbeat. The Alberta province because.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the Canadian Rockies, you'd get Banff. Ugh! The Kananaskis Mountains. Have you been there? It's gorgeous.
You could probably own that bear that almost attacked you in Banff.
I know. That's how much I love Canada. Even though the Canadian grizzly tried to kill me.
It did.
I still love it. I'm also not a big beach person.
Like regular beaches?
Like Florida beaches. Yeah.
They don't do it for me
either. I like beaches for a little bit. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like them for a little bit. We would lose a lot of money with Disney World, wouldn't we? Probably.
What do you mean?
That's good economy. An economic boon to have Disney World in a state.
Or say if we got rid of Florida?
We got rid of Florida.
And took Canada instead?
Alberta.
Just Alberta?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I'd have to go. I didn't go through the numbers yet. I'm just going on vibes.
We have a lot of retirees down there. Did you know that we have baseball coming up today?
Yeah.
12:15, we're going to have the first pitch, and it will be the finale of the series, Cardinals and Pirates. It is coming up today. We got the pregame show at 11:20. We will take you up until that, and we are very excited as the Cardinals try to sweep this series coming up here. Matt Pauly has the pregame show at 11. It's not Tom Ackerman. Tom usually sticks around during the day.
Yeah.
That might be a leftover mistake.
It could be a misprint.
It could be a misprint.
Oh.
Who's in charge of that? Who's in charge of that?
The printing company.
Of telling us who's...
Yes. Of making this, writing down who's on it.
Who do you think? It's Matt Pajeski.
That's what I thought. He said the printing company.
I don't get no respect from anyone.
Well, stop screwing up. Anyway, that's happening today. We have like another hour and 20 minutes to go of this show. John Rooney is going to join us at 10:30. Before we get to that, however, the Foundry, you know, the City Foundry here in St. Louis, part of Midtown, right by the SLU campus, it continues to expand. We're going to talk to Will Smith, not that one. He's the president of New and Found, St. Louis-based real estate development and investment firm, and we're going to talk about all of the people who have been going to the Foundry and what the plans are for expansion. We'll talk about that next with Will Smith here on KMOX.
The Chris and Amy Show is video streaming now on KMOX's YouTube, X, and Facebook pages. Click and subscribe.
You know what? I love the City Foundry. It's a really cool spot. It's a cool place right in the heart of our city, right in the middle of our city in Midtown. That's why they call it Midtown. And there is a lot happening there. There are new residential units that are there for people to move into. Of course, they've had the restaurants and they've had the bars, and I really enjoy going there. Well, there's a lot coming up this spring, even the full live the art market, which is happening at City Foundry. To talk about that with us and everything going on there is Will Smith, president of New and Found, a St. Louis-based real estate development and investment firm. Will, it's good to have you with us on KMOX. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So we are pretty excited about everything that's happened there, because we talk a lot on this show, and I think the station does too, about every little anything that St. Louis can get, whether it is an entertainment district like this one, or living spaces, or office buildings downtown, whatever it is. Every new development is great for us because we desperately need it. And City Foundry has been one of the great developments in the last couple of years.
Well, thank you. It's been quite a journey, especially when if you think back to it, our planned opening was May of 2020. We had to delay that a year and a half, but we've been really excited about the momentum it's built and very excited to be bringing the live art market this summer.
Okay, I'm gonna give some, throw these numbers out here, Will, because you talk about the momentum. So taxable sales within the City Foundry Community Improvement District, so that whole area, was $1.97 million in 2021. Like you said, you had to delay the opening. In 2024, it was $56.2 million, a 2,700% increase. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, even before then, it had been a vacant foundry for about a decade.
And then with the different restaurants and shops, let's do this. How has it evolved from when it opened to 2021 to now? Like, what's in it?
Yeah, so when we opened in 2021, our original planned opening was to have many of our shops and restaurants and the food hall kind of all open at once. But coming out of COVID, We actually had to hit reset. Several of our tenants couldn't proceed. And so we just decided in the fall of 21 that we were going to open, regardless, the food hall. And I think we opened the food hall with about 12, 13 kitchens. We're now up to 19 kitchens in the food hall.
How much space is there total? Like total? How much? Yeah. If you completely maxed out,
it's roughly 340,000 square feet.
Okay.
We are fully occupied on our office, which has, been phenomenal. Entertainment, grocery store, Trufusion, fitness, a rooftop patio with expat, City Winery, Alamo Draft House movie theater, and then numerous small local businesses, boutiques, and shops.
With this new round of tenants that are broadening City Foundry's offerings, what are we going to be looking at here?
Yeah, so we have both local and national. Mm-hmm. Most recently, we've opened Lux Redux Bridal. So it's one of our first national retailers, which has been very exciting because, again, we basically created a retail market. Before Foundry, you wouldn't have necessarily had a national retailer looking at Midtown St. Louis to bring their location. We also have Injection Bar, which is a beauty services company.
Like a local. Botox bar?
That's my understanding.
Oh, great.
Oh, man. I will say, if anything COVID showed me when I had to wear the masks is that I'm just like sentient crow's feet. Like, that's what I felt like with the mask. I was like, I am just crow's feet with body attached.
Can this place take care of Amy's crow's
feet?
Yes,
the Botox bar. Can they help me out?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I might need that myself, actually. And then we have the Great Big Game Show and the Escape Game. A dual national experiential entertainment concept coming in. So a lot of really great momentum on the leasing front.
And then also I was pulling up Google Maps because it's right next to, relatively speaking, St. Louis University, like within a half mile, right? The Foundry and St. Louis University.
One block. Yeah.
So
the edge of the campus is pretty much right there.
My friends who went there 20 years ago, they're like, wait a minute, for SLU students now, you're one block from the Foundry, and then there's also the Midtown development with the Target and all of that. I mean, it's completely revolutionized Midtown. What a great spot.
Absolutely, and what's been exciting, too, is between the new apartment building built on Foundry's campus and then the student housing being built right adjacent to Foundry, we're looking at an additional 1,000 residents right there as well. And I do know that with the Fresh Thyme, they've seen continual year-over-year growth in their sales as well.
I love that grocery store, by the way.
Oh, Fresh Thyme?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
And that one right in Midtown, so convenient. Love it.
I have driven past the residentials. There are now a couple of them. One of them is still being constructed. Is that right? I'm a little confused. I know I keep seeing it. I know there are always trucks there.
Yes, Vandeventer has been closed for like 2 years.
Yeah. So how much of that is occupied right now or rented out or purchased or whatever you've got?
So one of them is student housing.
Okay.
And my understanding with student housing is that kind of all occurs, starts around the beginning of the summer. So they should be leasing up very quickly. We've been leasing up since early winter last year, and leasing's been going strong, and we'll be looking at about 270 units at full lease up.
There, when you build something like that, there's always going to be adjustments and, you know, restructuring or whatever over the years. But what is the ultimate goal for that entire area? If you can look back and say this is what we want it to be, what would that be?
I think we want it to be a mixed-use urban environment. It's interesting. I saw some comments on Reddit talking about how it's a suburban-style development, which it was an interesting critique. But we really want to bring together all the different uses. You can live there. You can work there. The community can come together there. So we see more housing. We see more retail. We like density. The more dense a site becomes, the less reliant on cars you need to have. It's great that we are near Metrolink as well. We're right near the SLU campus. Mm-hmm. And so now what we're doing with this live art market is we're trying to bring more live performance and artists there, kind of what we have seen in our travels across the country, that are a place that the local community can come together and know that they're going to experience new things. They're going to experience new local performances and artists.
So that market will begin on the 21st of May.
That is correct.
And it's just going to be a Wednesday night thing, right? And it runs through about
June 35th.
June 35th, it says right here. So it's not running through June 35th, but it does run for a couple of months.
Yes, we're going to go till June 25th initially. Okay. The idea is to be able to go beyond then, but it's going to be initially awesome. That 1 month. We started with just an idea of having buskers and live performers, and when we started engaging the community and trying to find performers and artists to come down, it was really wonderful. We had a flood of other community organizations that wanted to be a part of it. So Kranzberg Arts Foundation mm-hmm. is going to be helping with the buskers. The Regional Arts Commission, in partnership with Mastermind, is going to be doing live music and his Master Camp series. Pate Lewis came as well.
Yeah. You guys are making the announcement of all like the performers today, right? Or not? Is that announcement today?
No, we're not going to. A lot of it's going to be around discovery. I mean, I think at a very high level, there's those, I'd say, larger organizations and the partnerships of Kranzberg Arts Foundation, Paint Lewis, Regional Arts Commission, Mastermind, a magician, Gavin Yang. And then we're actually doing a lecture series with UMSL as well. Mm-hmm. So all of these different mm-hmm. groups came to us. But then as we go along, the individual performers will be releasing, and it will be a bit of a discovery of who's down there at any given point in time.
You know, I saw here that the Foundry is one of the most visited attractions in the region, next to the St. Louis Zoo and the Gateway Arch, which, of course, two absolute behemoths in the tourist world here in St. Louis. Do you know the breakdown of your visitors at the Foundry? Like, are a lot of people coming from the county? Are people coming from Illinois? Is it people local to the city?
It's definitely the region, the whole region. Illinois, St. Charles, St. Louis nice. County. Yeah. I mean, I think our trade area for 80% of our traffic is like 50-mile radius. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the whole region that's coming together. And that's been really exciting too, because I think St. Louisans like to beat up on ourselves in terms of what's going on in the city or whether people want to come down to the city. And 2.1 million people coming to Foundry every year kind of would disagree with the sentiment that there's nothing cool to do in the city.
Well, and I think there's the regional bias where it's really hard to get those of us who live east, like east of 170, it's hard to get, hard to get those of us who live further east to go west of 270. We're like, ugh, I'm not going west of 270. And people who live west of 270 don't go east of McKnight. And it's like this divide where they're like, we just want to stay in our area. That's at least growing up. We would always joke that my friends who lived further east, they never wanted to come out to West County, and people in West County never wanted to go further east. And this is one of those places where it's the Foundry itself is not just an event, but what a fun day if you were to swing by the arch and then come back to the Foundry, eat dinner, walk around, listen to some music, or go to the zoo earlier in the day and then go to the Foundry.
Absolutely. And that's we also have data on where people are going. And that's exactly what we're seeing, is people are making a whole day out of it. A lot of our traffic is coming down before or after sports games as well, which has been great to see. And so, you know, we want it to be a destination that people come to time and time and time again.
That's, I'll tell you what, I went to the city winery. It was just a couple mm-hmm. of months ago. We had sort of a station gathering there, and I know about City Winery. I'd seen the one in Chicago, and I know that I think they're all over the country, aren't they? They're a handful at least. And we're in the place, and all these people start coming in, and they're walking to the back, and I go, where are they going? and you open up the door and there's this huge like music venue.
Yeah.
You would have no idea it's there unless somebody told you it was there. And it's really, really cool. So it's just one of the cool things that's down at the Foundry.
Well, there's so many opportunities to discover. Hopefully you've been to Noda, None of the Above, which is our speakeasy.
Yeah. I've not been invited.
Gerard Kraft?
Yes. Yeah.
Speakeasy?
Yes.
You haven't been invited.
Well, we were supposed to go there after, I think, the Christmas party, but something happened.
We'd love to host you.
Yeah.
All right, it was an invite.
Okay, great. I'm in. I'd love to go.
Because he didn't get invited to the Women of Achievement luncheon either.
Didn't get invited to that.
So,
do I have to be invited to the speakeasy?
No, you can.
I can just go?
You can go. Reservations would probably be recommended.
Is there a code word?
No code word currently.
Okay.
So
that'd be pretty cool.
It's Gerard.
It is Gerard. It's always Gerard. That's the best. All right. So
very cool.
The live art market again starts up May 21st. Is it free to just go there and be there?
Awesome.
I'm assuming it's outdoors, right?
Yes. It'll be blended within the space. Okay. A lot of it will be occurring outdoors. Some of it will be inside. As an example, you know, really excited about this partnership with UMSL as a part of it, which will be this lecture series. And so they're going to be bringing different humanities PhD professors down, and they're just going to lecture on interesting topics that you wouldn't necessarily think to look up. So you can grab a drink, grab something to eat, and just kind of enjoy that lecture. And all of these professionals, whether they're artists or professors, it's all funded. So so it's free to the public.
Awesome.
And I would also mention parking is often a concern. There's
free.
there's 1,000 free spaces on the Foundry campus, and then immediately adjacent to the Foundry campus, we know there's about 3,000 additional parking spaces available.
And this is all ages?
All ages.
I did ask that once. It sounds like a simple question, but I asked it once about like a beer festival at the art museum, and the guy was like, no, it's just alcohol. So anyway, this one is all ages.
This is all ages.
Bring the family. Lots of parking. That's a big note for especially people in the county to know. There's lots of parking.
Lots of
free parking.
Yes, free parking.
Yep.
The live art market starts May 21st. It is a Wednesday, runs every Wednesday through the 25th of June. It's free to go down to the City Foundry and check it out. We appreciate you, Will Smith, with New and Found. Thank you for coming by to talk to us about this.
Thank you for having me.
It's Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. I'm one of the 20%. I'm one of
that doesn't have a real ID.
Yeah, and that number is going down by the minute because everybody's getting theirs today.
Except for in New Jersey, where 70% of people don't have a real ID. What in the world happened in New Jersey that they're so unprepared?
I didn't know that New Jersey...
You did know that because it was my Did You See This a couple of weeks ago. CBS News looked at all the different states, 30 states.
And they had the highest?
Well, most states had like 70% of people... have the real ID.
Yeah.
But in New Jersey, 70% of people don't have the real ID.
That would be about?
Like
what,
why?
Yeah, what is it about New Jersey?
Well.
Maybe is it because their DMVs are really efficient?
And that's why nobody's getting
them? Yeah, they're like, I don't have to worry about it now. I'll get it the day of.
Hey,
But they have, if you have been listening to the station today, you heard the Secretary of State in Illinois, Lexi Janulius, telling you that you do not have to get it today. Like if you're not flying today, you can still get it after today. This is not like a deadline where if you get pulled over, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah, no, it's not like that.
This is only for flying.
And apparently, allegedly, according to Total Information AM this morning and an interview Megan Lynch did, there's a 2-year grace period where if you do not have a real ID and you have to fly next week or a month from now or 3 months from now.
Extra screening.
You get pulled aside, but they said it's not supposed to take longer. It's not necessarily extra screening. It's just a different line because they said, allegedly, it's not going to hold you up or anyone else up any longer, but you will have to go to a different line. Or you can bring a passport if you don't have your real ID, and the passport, of course, would work just as well. But yes, I believe there's a 2-year grace period. I would say just get the real ID, but you don't have to go today.
No, I mean, they will do extra screening, a separate screening process. They will take you out of line. If you don't have the real ID and you try to get on a plane, They will, and you don't, yeah, they will take you out of line and they will beat you.
Or,
you will get a severe beating from TSA.
I have a quick question before we move
on. Let me check on that and make sure that's true.
If you don't have
a real ID, will they beat you up? No, they will not. I was wrong about that.
Have you ever cleaned your shower while you're in your shower, like right before you take a shower?
So you asked this question earlier. Can I tell everybody what Matt Pajeski said?
Yes.
So first of all, ask the question again, and then I'm going to tell you what Pajeski said.
Hey guys, I have a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever cleaned your shower like right before you took a shower? Like you are in the nude, you get in the shower and you clean the shower and then you take a shower. And Matt said,
why would you clean your shower?
Yeah.
Soap and water, baby.
That's not how it works. You can't just...
It's a fact. What's so dirty about soap and water? What are you going to clean it with? Soap and water?
There's mildew.
Nah, not my shower. It's got a nice pink hue to it. I think that means it's a nice clean...
That's not what that means.
That's mildew. And there's black mold in the corners where it's like the... Where it looks like the grouts turning black.
Yep.
Ugh. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
So do you or not? And I'm not talking about the leave-in shower spray. Well, so basically I have some Clorox bathroom foaming cleaner and you scrub the tiles and all that. And I was going to do that and I forgot. And I was getting ready to get in the shower. So I grabbed some paper towels and I grabbed the Clorox cleaner. And I will say after a couple of minutes, my eyes started to burn. And I thought, should I be in here with all this bleach? And I feel like the answer is no.
You were doing it while you were showering? That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, I got in the shower and I was like scrubbing the walls and the shower door and the tile, right? You're scrubbing it. And then you rinse the walls down with a cup, right? Because I don't have one of those pull-off handheld. I had to like fill up a cup of water and rinse the walls down painstakingly.
You're not supposed to do that.
I know. I think that was a mistake because then I had to take my contacts out.
It's very clearly a mistake.
Well, now the shower is squeaky clean. I can tell you that.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. The Cardinals beat Paul Skeens again, and today they are going to try and take the Pirates once again. 12:15 first pitch, but next we've got the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. He joins us coming up on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. And if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
Russo's pitch is hit hard to center field. Right there's Victor Scott. He has it for a Redbird winner. Light it up in downtown St. Louis as the Cardinals beat the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight 2-1.
Now the Cardinals did it again. They beat Paul Skeens last night. They will finish up the series with the Pittsburgh Pirates today. 12:15 is the first pitch. We have the pregame show on 104.1 FM KMOX at 11:20. It's time to bring in the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. You just heard him on that highlight. And he's with us now getting ready for the game today. What's going on, John?
You're exactly right. I'm getting ready for the game today. They didn't light up the fireworks right away last night. It took them about 25 seconds.
Well,
so whoever had the push button on the fireworks, like, oh, we won.
Well, isn't that if you're the push button?
They didn't light it up immediately. I'm counting on that sound effect in the background. So I almost said, well, then don't light it up, but celebrate anyhow.
Well, listen, how does that even happen? Because isn't that really your one job?
Your one job.
Is the fireworks button.
I'm not sure who's in charge. I'm not going to be pointing fingers. I'm not that kind of person.
Maybe the wick was damp.
That's not how they do it.
What?
They don't go out there and light them individually.
It could be a damp
wick. That's not. They don't do it like that.
Well, you know, what they do is when the ball goes off the bat, they light the fuse, and then by the time it's caught, then the fireworks go off. That's probably what happened. You know, one of the best fireworks stories: Rick Sutcliffe pitching, and he'd given up some home runs,
yes.
And the pitching coach comes out and. He goes, what are you doing out here? He said, I'm just giving the fireworks guy time to reload.
Such a great story.
That's a really great line.
I love that so much. Well, I don't know what it is about playing the Pirates and playing against Paul Skeens, but the Cardinals, I mean, he only gave up two runs last night, so it's not like he pitched terribly or anything. He had a pretty good start, but they seem to find a way to beat him all the time.
No, it's not like they got to him in Pittsburgh, but last night it was a good old-fashioned country pitching duel in Libertor. He bent giving up one run, and then the Cardinals came right back and got two, and they did it with two outs. Started with a hit by Nolan Arenado and then a walk for Contreras, and Burleson is really finding the stroke. He was able to time up a pitch, hit it the opposite way. It hit down on the track for a double, scoring two, and that was the ballgame, 2-1.
So another good one for the Cardinals here, who are trying to get themselves back to 500. How big of it, and they're one game under right now. Psychologically, for a baseball team, I know a lot of guys are aware of what their record is. Some guys may not be. They just go out there and play. But is there a big psychological benefit to getting to 500 and then getting back above it?
Oh, I think there is a little bit. This early in the season, though, I don't think many guys think about that. And the way baseball's going, I mean, Ricky and I were talking about, he told me that the Cubs really gave it up last night.
They did.
Ended up losing. Right now, there is no one really dominating. I like the Mets. The Dodgers have a lot of firepower within their lineup. Their pitching has been pretty good so far. But even the Padres gave it up to the Yankees. And if you can just kind of hang in there, and these young guys have bought into what the Cardinals are doing. There are some tough at-bats, and really against tough pitching with Skeens in there yesterday. Santana looked pretty good, and Bednar, who has been struggling, did a pretty good job for the Pirates. But our hitters so far here in St. Louis, the young guys, they don't care what the score is, up or down. They go in there looking to provide a good at-bat, give themselves a chance to do some damage, or at least get on base so somebody else can. And that's why the Cardinals, who are 0-5 in one-run games, are learning to win the close ones. They've won five in a row now. They're 500 in the one-run games.
Yeah, you mentioned that Cubs-Giants game last night. They went to the 11th inning, and the Giants scored 9 runs in the top of the 11th.
Well, they're Giants, so they should.
That's a Giant score in that game.
Well, it can happen, and that's why I think the mindset of any team in Major League Baseball right now, you lay an egg one day, forget about it, come back because you have a chance to start something good the next. And I think that's what more people look at than the record or getting to 500 now. If you're after the All-Star break, though, you can't do a thing till you get to 500 and then make a charge. And that, it might start weighing on some minds at that point, but I don't think it's all that important right now. They want to go out and win today, take care of today. And then when you look at the record down the road, we're 4 or 5 above and we're on a roll. That's what they hope to accomplish and get that going.
John, you mentioned the young guys, and Gordon Graceffo had his first save opportunity of his big league career, and I imagine Ollie Marmol was pleased how it worked out. It worked out as planned.
Everything Graceffo's done since helping the team win over in Cincinnati and his two outings here, extremely impressive, and something they were hoping to see about this time of his career. It's his time to perform up here. And normally, after just a couple of outings, you don't get those high-leverage situations like that. But he earned it in doing what he did in Cincinnati to help the Cardinals sweep a doubleheader and then pitch a scoreless inning. He got a chance to do the same thing last night. And what they've seen out of Michael McGreevy, he's going to come back and help this team before it's over. But the Cardinals needed a fresh arm after he pitched as long as McGreevy did in helping the Cardinals sweep the Mets, a doubleheader. So they sent him back, and Gordon came up and did his job for a couple of days, and I don't think he's available today, but what he's done for this team has really been a big boost for the bullpen. And that's a young arm the Cardinals have been looking at. They've been counting on to get here and make a contribution, and right now he is making a contribution.
Sonny Gray is starting this afternoon against Mitch Keller of the Pirates. And for Gray, he is uncharacteristically not having the best start. What do you, as you've watched him pitch so far in the first month plus of the season, what have you seen from him?
Well, the other night against the Mets, he had way too much of the plate. And once Alonso hit the home run that put the Mets over the top, they didn't look back in that one. And Sonny had some of those games in spring training, but it's spring training, and he pitched much better when the season started. And I think he'll be all right. He doesn't have as much on the fastball as he used to, but this is a guy who has relied on command and control, And when he has the command and control and his sweeper working, then his fastball seems to be a little more effective, even though it doesn't quite have the zip to it that it used to. But if he's not hitting his spots and he's picking up too much of the plate, that's when they're hitting him, and they've been hitting him for some distance. But Sonny Gray knows what he wants to go out there to do. It's a matter of execution, and I think he's going to be successful a lot more times than not.
Again, he does start the game today. He's 3-1 on the season, a 4.12 ERA. He usually does not have an ERA that high, so we'll see if he starts to turn it around today. I wanted to ask you about what happened a couple of nights ago. I was watching along and listening to KMOX, listening to the call.
It's a good thing you listen to the station.
Yeah, I try.
That's good. John, I think Steve Moore appreciates that.
Yeah, you know what? He should. He should appreciate everything I do for him, quite honestly. So
let's lay it on. Let's pour it on. Hey, nice working with you, Ron.
He appreciates everything you do. It's not a lot, but...
He appreciates everything you did. that's what's going to happen.
Wait, am I on vacation now?
You're on assignment.
Might be a long assignment coming up here. Keep it up. Just keep pouring it on.
Anyway, Steve really owes me, if we're being honest. But I was watching the replay situation that happened with Victor Scott coming around
to
score. Yes, he was safe.
He was safe.
And I know Ollie appealed.
It was a...
Ollie reached out to the league and he wanted a better explanation.
It was a cover-up thing. Oh, we're not sure. We couldn't see if he had his hand on the plate. The catcher almost forced his hand down on the plate with his knee. And Bart was basically blocking the plate. He was right on top of it. But I don't know if the umpires thought Ollie was asking to see if there was a lane to score, obstruction, or that he was safe. But I think he was asking for both out of the ruling.
Yep.
And, we couldn't tell. Well, then, we could. It was easy to see. His hand was on the ground, and he probably had dirt all over it when Victor got up. But that's the way it went, and the fact that the Cardinals were up by four, or up by three after a four-run inning. If it had been a one-run ball game, there would have been a lot more thunder and lightning coming out of the Cardinal dugout on that call.
Yeah, and we did talk to Ollie Marmol on Gas House Gang yesterday, and he said, I think that was the last thing we talked to him about, it didn't factor in the win, but it did force him to use a pitcher he didn't want to have to use.
Exactly.
And
that could come up big either here today, or could come up big when we get to Washington for the weekend. That's a long road trip coming up.
Yeah, but my real question is, how in the world does that happen? How do you miss that when everybody can see it?
I don't know. I have a couple of opinions, but I'll keep them to myself.
Oh, no, we want those.
No, I'll get in trouble over these. But I just wonder how some of those decisions come down. And it was the crew chief who made the call. And I've seen a crew chief overturn on a few calls, but not very many.
Well, I don't know. If we're going to take the time to do replay, stop the game and all of that, and we can all see what happened.
Yeah, get it right.
You got to get it right.
There have been times there have been calls against the Cardinals that a couple of them went the Cardinals' way. I'm going, oh, they missed that one. Then it's right there. I mean, we have the eye tells the story watching that. But I'm glad it didn't factor in the Cardinal game where it would have cost them a loss. But it was kind of strange. And Ricky and I looked at each other. Ricky said, I got an explanation here that it really is Monday or something. I said, that makes more sense than what we're going to hear out of that email. That's for sure. And I'll agree with that. But by and large, the umpires are out there. They're trying. They don't go out there to do a bad job. There isn't anybody in this game that goes out there to do a bad job. And they hustle, they get into position, and they're human. There are going to be missed calls, but how they missed that one, that's still a mystery to me.
Hey, John, as we let you go, I was wondering, the way my brain is wired, I know.
You're going to be doing a solo here before too long because Ronji's going to get canned after what he said about Steve.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't going to help much, but man, I'm surrounded by, headlines and television chirons about the Cardinals. And I'll tell you what, there have been multiple headlines coming out of Rome that have to do with the conclave and the Cardinals there that my brain always thinks baseball first. Have you seen any conclave headlines that you've interpreted as the team?
No, I can't say that I have, but I wonder who is batting leadoff there in the voting. That would be.
Well, they do have favorites.
It's like the headline on CBS News that, you know, the Cardinals are voting. My first thought is like, what does Ali have them voting on?
Well, yeah, right now the Chiron on Fox News says Cardinals take secrecy oath of ahead of vote.
Oh, wait a minute. I see white smoke coming out of the Cardinal clubhouse. So something has been selected down there. It's probably the batting order, which, I mean, the veterans, they want to be in there today, and they are the veterans. The regular lineup, Newt Barr, Wynn, Donovan, Arenado, Contreras, Burleson, Walker, Paez is behind the plate, and Victor Scott is batting ninth. They are having fun right now.
I'll tell you what that white smoke is. It's the hot dogs. The hot dogs in the ballpark. That's what that is.
All right, it's about that time. 12:15 today, guys. Nice working with you, Ron.
Hey, John, you're never going to believe this. Not even joking. Steve Moore just walked up right by the window.
Gave us the thumbs up.
Oh, he did. No. He said he was giving you the pink slip.
Yeah. No. He said, you're doing a great job. He said it through the window.
He said it to Amy.
That's right. John
gets it.
Wasn't
for you, Ron.
Yep.
Bye, John. We'll talk to you.
Bye now.
Hey,
have a good one.
Ball game for you today, and then Gas House Gang, you're with us again 12:30 on Friday. Don't forget.
Is that Friday?
Yeah. Oh.
What day is this?
Today is Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
See you then.
Talk to you then. Bye.
John Rooney, voice of the Cardinals with Rick Horton, Mike Claiborne on the broadcast as well. 11:20 for the pregame show that's coming up here on 104.1 FM KMOX and the free Odyssey app.
So I told you earlier that yesterday I was working my way back to watching what my mom calls other hockey. Because my mom, not a big sports lady, but she was watching the Blues playoffs with me. Mm-hmm. And she would come in sometimes into the family room and say, are you watching, is this Blues hockey? I'm like, no, this isn't the Blues. And she goes, you're watching other hockey? Like, that's too much. But then I got her to watch some other hockey, and she asked me last night, how are you doing? Are you watching other hockey yet? And I barely started. I have to stick with the Eastern Conference for now. The Western Conference hits too close to home. I will never watch the Jets and Stars series. But I watched a little bit about the Caps and the Canes, a series I don't care about with teams I don't really like. And it was okay. But yesterday, we put a poll up on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. Do you continue to watch the playoffs when your team has been eliminated? We didn't even specify which sport. Just, do you continue to watch the playoffs when your team has been eliminated? Yes or no? Ronj, which one do you think won?
I think it's a no. I think no probably barely won.
Did you cheat?
No. Okay. I swear to God, I didn't look.
No. 58%.
Uh-huh.
Yes, 42%.
I mean, 58's a pretty good win, but it's not overwhelming.
It's not a thrashing.
That means it's still 42% of people are still watching the playoffs go on. That's a lot of people who don't, I guess it doesn't bother them. But I'm one of the people like you. I have a very difficult time watching, especially if it's an emotional loss.
Yeah.
I have a real tough time moving on and watching the game again.
Because
it feels like seeing your ex-girlfriend who dumps you post photos with her new boyfriend on Instagram.
It's like having your girlfriend.
Which, by the way, never happens to
me. Dump you on New Year's Eve and you go out to the restaurant you're supposed to go with her and she's there with another man.
No, that was just funny.
I will say this. If the Blues had lost 4-1, 5-2... I would probably be in a little bit better state right now. But just being 1 second away from the second round really, really hurt. And I want to keep watching hockey because I made a big deal about Hockey Amy being back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not great. It is not great. No Western Conference yet. I can't handle it. And like I said, it wasn't even fun yesterday. It was like taking medicine. That's how I felt. I turned on the game. I did other things on my computer, you know, paid some bills, made an eye doctor appointment.
Yeah. Okay.
Scheduled. Oh my gosh. I do have a PSA. Remember how I was talking about the national park passes, and there's all different kinds of passes you can get. You can get, you know, a pass just for Yosemite. You can get a pass just for Grand Teton, and it's a day pass. Or if you're going to go to three national parks, you can buy the America the Beautiful pass.
Oh.
And it's so cool because it's a pass to all of the national parks in the country and national forests, and you can get it at the Arch, because we are a national park.
Yep.
Guess where else you can get it? REI.
Oh.
The store.
Yeah, I know the store.
And that's, so I ordered my America the Beautiful Pass while I was watching, half watching the Canes and Caps. And then you can go pick it up at the store.
Well, that's so convenient.
I think this is such an important PSA for
people. And then you can go buy the equipment that you need.
Yeah, what?
Buy the equipment that you need to go scale a mountain.
I can't because you can't. That's what it's. I'm not going to fly with an ice pick.
Oh.
And crampons.
What is that?
Crampons are like spikes that go on your shoes.
Oh.
So when you're crossing over glaciers.
Okay.
I don't like the name.
Yeah, I don't like that name either.
Oh, grow up.
No, it's just a little too familiar. Something about it I don't like.
Like a terminal?
Texter into the show at 314-436-7900.
Yeah.
Says, just, this is all it says, Pope John Paul Skeens.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Well, we were talking about Paul Skeens and the Cardinals beating him again.
Oh,
and we've been talking about the Pope. They're electing a new Pope. They're starting the process today. So that's great.
Also, all these headlines about the Cardinals, it's so confusing.
I am not confused at all.
I am.
Because I know it's, when I see St. Peter's in the background, I know that they're not talking about the St. Louis Cardinals.
But what about a headline? Like breaking news, Wall Street Journal, the Cardinals make a big decision. What is that? Did we trade somebody?
Oh, no, that's a great point. It would say St. Louis Cardinals. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but I don't assume that.
Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. Few more minutes with all of us together. You and me and Amy and Matt and Frank Ladd and you. Because we got Cardinals baseball coming up very, very soon. The 11:20 pregame show on 104.1 FM KMOX. So remember the Tyson Paul fights, the Jake Paul fight that happened months ago?
And yeah, then we talked, stupid rigged fight.
Yeah. We talked to my guy, Mike Leonardi, who was on the promotion team for Jake Paul, and he just sent me this message, which I had not seen it before. It was John Boy Media had tweeted this out a couple of days ago. It is a real obituary for a White Sox fan in Glen Ellen, Illinois, which is up, I think it's a northern suburb. Anyway, this is totally real. Brought to you by Cremation Society of Illinois, John Bernard McDonald of Glen Ellen, Illinois, December 31st, 1947 to April 23rd, 2025. The obituary reads as follows, and there's only one paragraph I'm going to read to you because it's all that you need. It says, John Mac McDonald, aged 77, of Glen Ellen, passed away after a short illness on Wednesday evening, April 23rd, at his home surrounded by family. He couldn't face another White Sox season after last year's record-breaking meltdown.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
At the sports station I worked at up there, they used to be this running joke because I forgot who it was. Somebody's dog had died. And the running joke was White Sox baseball killed his dog.
Yeah.
And it just kept coming up. What a great sense of humor. He couldn't face another White Sox season after last year's record-breaking meltdown.
I love it. That's pretty good.
It's so good.
Do you ever think like, will you pre-write your obituary and have a little humor to it?
No, but
I think it should just be this. Like, if you're reading this, I'm dead. I'm sure a lot of you are sad. I just have this to say. You're fine.
You're fine. I hope that
when you die, everyone else dies.
Well, yeah, that too.
That's terrible.
It's a FOMO thing.
Then there's no obituary if everyone else gets like blown up by the same asteroid.
Great. Then there's no possibility of a really bad bitch obituary, right? I was a bad bituary. Here's what I would want
to
happen.
Like a total girl boss move.
Oh, that's what it'll be. Oh, here's your bad bituary. If I...
Yes, Queen, yes!
If I pass away,
yeah,
I want my obituary to be nice, and I want people to like it. You know, yeah. What I want it to make people cry.
Well, I made myself cry.
Writing my obituary. Yeah.
Eulogy. I didn't write your obituary. Eulogy. I don't know your family history.
I just want it to be nice.
Well, the show's prepared.
Oh, like our show?
Our show is 100% prepared.
Oh, just in case something happens to me?
In case you pass away. Yeah.
Now, is it going to be... Do you think the first show you do without me,
uh-huh,
do you think there will be crying? Or do you think it'll just be, well, Ronj has died?
They'll be crying because what I have written is so beautiful that I moved myself to tears. But here, we're ready for you.
You're listening to The Amy Show. No longer featuring Chris Ronji, because he has passed away.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
We're ready. And folks are like, oh my gosh, they're actually ready for
it. I'm right here. They are. They are prepared.
We're prepared.
Gerald Ford died today.
He has passed away.
I think, like
I'm ready
said,
for it.
I think a lot of us are, but I think, I think it will be really beautiful. I'll bring myself to tears, and then we'll be fine.
I feel good about what we've done today.
I do have a story. If we're gonna stay on the morbid,
yeah, sure, why not? Right, this is. I feel like there's no better way to send people into the Cardinals game than what we're doing right now.
Yeah, and the macabre.
Yeah.
So an American tourist was visiting the Colosseum in Rome when he was shish kebabbed.
What?
He was shish kebabbed. So the man, his visit to Rome took a turn for the terrifying after he impaled himself on a fence and was left... dangling. Oh my gosh, I'm screaming. That's awful.
Why are you telling this story?
He has passed away.
What? But no, so it was an American tourist from Taiwan, which that's just what the story says. An American tourist, he attempted to climb over a fence. Presumably to get a closer look at the Roman amphitheater, which you should not do. Don't climb over the fence. He fell and was skewered by the sharp metal bars of the fence. They did rescue him. It was a really, really, really terrible and grotesque situation. But the thing is, don't break the rules. Don't climb over. There's a reason why the fence is spiked.
You know, that's exactly what Vlad the Impaler said. He said, don't break the rules. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen to you.
That is a pretty menacing nickname.
Vlad the Impaler?
Yeah.
Do you know?
So, Vlad, how'd you get your nickname?
Have you really read? Here's what, okay, I need to say something about.
Is it because you yourself are klutzy?
I need to say something about people back in like the 1400s.
Yeah.
Okay. They and, you know, like the medieval folks, and they sat around and they wasted brain power. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out the worst possible way to torture people.
Listen.
Like, what if you used that ability to think for something that could help society? Instead, they're coming up with these really clever ways to make people miserable and to torture them.
So,
it's grotesque.
As bad as things are, and they're bad, not only are we not Vlad the Impaler, but you've heard of, like, Nineveh, you know, the biblical story of Jonah and the Assyrians. Archaeologists and historians have said that they were some of the most brutal and cruel people when it came to their forms of torture and punishment that history has ever uncovered. Like, insane. So VeggieTales, the Christian animated series that do Bible study stories.
VeggieTales is a Christian thing?
Yeah, it's all Bible stories.
It is?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I've never watched it.
Well, anyway, it's great. Well, because there are some like secular references that are really funny. But when they said when they were doing the story of Jonah and going to Nineveh, and they're like, we can't even begin to say what the Ninevites actually did, because like, why were they so bad? So they just made it that they slapped each other with fishes.
Okay.
So they show like, and here, meanwhile, in Nineveh, and they're holding fishes and they're just hitting each other with fishes. But I mean, it was brutal. brutal throughout human history. That's why this is not the worst time to be alive. It's just the stupidest. We're a very unserious and stupid time to be alive, but this is not the worst time to be alive. We are not the worst we've ever been as humans.
Of course not. It is the stupidest because the gap between the knowledge that we have and how dumb we are is too great. Like, we should be so much better than what we are right now.
I'm glad we had what I would call like Biden the alien or Biden the incompetent rather than Biden
Vlad the Impaler.
Biden the Impaler.
Yes, right. Okay, exactly.
That's a bad one. You don't want an impaler as the ruler of your country.
I read about what they actually did with the impaler.
I'll get sick.
I'm not going to tell you, but it is.
It's awful.
Well, I will just tell you this one thing.
I'm listening.
Matt,
here's what they did.
No.
I'm not going to give you great details, but they felt like the process went too quickly.
No, stop.
And so they devised a way to make it slower so that it hurt for longer and the person stayed alive longer.
That's awful.
Like, why would. That's what people did several hundred years ago. They just sat around and thought of ways to hurt other people.
Well,
it's nuts.
Even we think of the Romans invented democracy. It's so great. Rome. They did crucifixions. Like, that's how
this is democracy manifest.
Yes. But like, crucifixions was a thing.
Yeah.
That's so demented.
It's wild.
Why'd you bring in the Democracy Manifest guy?
This is Democracy Manifest. Get your hand off my penis!
A succulent Chinese meal.
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How far long ago did he die? Was it last year?
Did you say how far long ago? Oh,
it was a while ago, right?
It was like last year. Not even a year.
Yeah. Succulent Chinese meal guy.
So wait, what were the charges, Matt?
Was eating
a succulent Chinese meal.
That was the charge. Oh, boy.
I don't even know.
So,
what a show.
Should we come back and do it tomorrow?
I think so.
All right.
I believe so. Don't break rules and don't get shish kebabbed would be one of my PSAs for the day. Something you should do is get your real ID. You should also go get your America the Beautiful pass.
Yeah.
$80.
Okay, well, this
$80.
Isn't an REI ad.
Well, you can do it at the Arch, too.
Go to the Arch.
You can go anywhere, but it's support the parks.
No.
My Smokey the Bear shirt's almost here. It might come today.
I have a friend who texted me during the show and said, are we making fun of the dead now? With a hand face palm emoji? Like, no.
No.
No, we're making fun of my death.
Only Ronge is the only one.
I'm not dead yet. Give it time. Maybe not that much. Who knows? You never know.
You never know. We're all day to day.
It could be the Amy show tomorrow.
Oh.
Would you take a day off?
I don't think so.
All right. Anything you missed on the Odyssey app, 9 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow on 104.1 FM KMOX.